looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That is in there for strike three, and that ends it. The final score here tonight, Philadelphia 3 and the Red Sox 1. Boston held to just 6 hits this evening. These two games awfully tough. Red Sox and the Phillies, 2 first-place teams, will split the two.
So that's how it went at Fenway Park last night. Red Sox lose to the Phillies. 3-1 was the final score. And I think there's some conclusions we can make based on that series over at Fenway. And we got a lot to get to today on the Baseball Reporters. Certainly the outcome of the game, the outcome of the series. Red Sox are off tonight, so they'll catch their breath before the Yankees come in for 4 games over the weekend. I told you it's a good week to watch the Red Sox. And a lot of fans are doing it. The last couple of nights, the games have rated very highly. 2 nights ago was the highest rated game of the year. Last night wasn't quite as high, but still one of the highest rated games, at least in terms of viewership, on the New England Sports Network. 617-779-0985 is your number. Our producer, Jimmy Stewart, you can open up the phone lines right away. Because to me, there's an obvious conclusion to be drawn from last night's game. And by the way, Christian Arcand is alongside, filling in for Jim Murray here, who's off for a couple of days. So we appreciate Christian being on the program. We'll get to a number of things here over the course of the hour, but I want to start with the loss. Okay, the Red Sox played 2 games with the Phillies, Christian.
Yeah.
2 games. They went 22 innings, and the final score was 4-3, if you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you add up all the runs from the 2 games with the Phillies. 22 innings, 4-3. It took 13 innings for the Red Sox to win the game on Monday night. Last night, the game went 9. It was a 2-1 game going into the ninth, and the Phillies scored another run to pad the lead there a little bit. The Red Sox threatened, but nonetheless, game ended on what I would call a controversial third strike to Brock Holt. I thought the ball was outside.
I thought so too, yeah.
But nonetheless, 2 tight, low-scoring games in which I would argue, by the way, you're going to see more of in October. Okay, I don't know, you know, maybe not. Certainly is a possibility with the Yankees and the Astros that you're going to get some high-scoring games. But typically in October, you're going to get games where those final outs, those final at-bats all matter. There's strain on the bullpen, emphasis on the bullpen, all of that. But these 2 games with the Phillies, who are one of the better teams in baseball, are instructive. There's good competition there. And Adam Jones pointed this out on the afternoon show this afternoon, that these 2 games against the Phillies were the only 2 games in July that the Red Sox played against a team with a winning record since David Price was slapped around by the Yankees on July 1st in New York. That Sunday night game in New York was the last time the Red Sox had played a team with a winning record this month until the Phillies showed up in town. So altogether, the bottom line, the conclusion, if you will, the Red Sox played 3 games in the month of July against teams with winning records. 3. Both of those teams would be in the playoffs right now, the Yankees and the Phillies.
Yep.
You know what their 1-loss record was in those 3 games?
1-2.
They went 1-2, correct. Good job. Good for you. You did your homework assignment.
1+2. I think I got that one.
Okay, so there you go. But believe it or not, in the Felger and Mass show and even on the Baseball Reporters, we have difficulty doing 1+2.
With 1+3, yes. It can be tricky.
It puts you ahead of most of us on this show, Christian.
All right.
But it does sort of reintroduce the conversation about what the Red Sox are relative to their record. Are they really what their record says they are? So I looked it up again today. It just felt like a good time to do the update. Against the Yankees, the Astros, the Oakland A's, and the Seattle Mariners, and they left Cleveland off the list because the Red Sox have not played them yet. But against those 4 clubs and the Phillies in Atlanta, the 2 interleague opponents that the Red Sox have played who are going to the playoffs, or at least at the moment who qualify for the playoffs, against the 6 teams on the Red Sox schedule this year, that the Red Sox have faced and are in contention for a playoff spot. The Red Sox are 15-16. They have a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
And their win percentage is .484. Okay? I went a little bit further to tell you that in 31 games against those teams, the run differential is +9. Okay? So 31 games +9. Against everybody else, the Red Sox are 60-18, which is a winning percentage of .769, and their run differential is +167 in 78 games. Okay? So I'll give you that all in an easier form to digest. Winning percentage against the playoff contenders, .484. Against everyone else, .769. It's a difference of almost 300 points. And run differential in 31 games against playoff contenders, +9. 78 games against everyone else, +167. Why am I still taking grief when I want to point out that the Red Sox haven't played great against good teams? Why am I still taking grief for that when all I'm doing is giving you the facts and the stats? Okay, those are the numbers. Philly isn't even that good. And I'm not telling you the Red Sox suck. I'm just telling you that this world-beating pace that they're on, and we've had his callers in the last couple of days refer to the Red Sox regular season as historic. This pace that they're on is inflated. It is. It's inflated. I don't know if you feel differently, Christian.
No, I tend to agree. As far as Philly goes, I mean, you did get, those are probably the two best pitchers you faced this month. Nola and Arrieta. I mean, who's been better than them that you faced this month? So I'd say, you know, given that, yes, they are a playoff team. They're a National League team. There's some other things that sort of go into it. But sure, how can you not look at this? And also, you know, not for nothing, but the Yankees just got their ass kicked by the Baltimore Orioles, who are a double-A team. They're not even a triple-A team anymore. That's a double-A team out there. And they had no chance. I mean, Sonny Gray put them in the hole in the second inning. So, you know, you can say that it doesn't necessarily matter. The Red Sox, you know, are beating up on the bad teams. Well, not everyone's doing that. It'd be nice to see him do better against these playoff teams, and they're going to have opportunities. They got Houston coming up here. They haven't played Cleveland yet, but they have them a bunch, I think, coming up next month. They got the Yankees a bunch of times too. You know, I mean, we'll see what this team is made of here post deadline, where they didn't add to their bullpen and everyone else did. I think that's really going to, you know, it's going to show you exactly what we're dealing with here, regardless of what the numbers are in the AL East. If the Yankees are 6 games back or 10 games back or 12 games back. I don't really care. I mean, it doesn't really matter until you get to the playoffs. And this team, from a playoff perspective, still hasn't shown anything. They're basically the same team as they were in 2016. You know, a couple guys, J.D. Martinez and David Ortiz, Rick Porcello's your Cy Young guy instead of Chris Sale, you know, where he was back then. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of similarities there. And that team got waxed by a superior starting rotation and a superior bullpen. And I feel like that's what the Red Sox are going to run into here in the playoffs.
Okay, so Christian, if you wanted to tell me that the Red Sox have taken care of business against the bad teams better than the Yankees have, you're right. They have. It's indisputable. Again, today's a great point. The Yankees picked up a game last night.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees picked up a game in the standings. They picked up a game in the loss column. They're 3 out in the loss column going into today. They're playing Baltimore at home. And Baltimore's been the worst team in baseball really all year long. And as you pointed out, and it can't be ignored, they're even worse now post-deadline. For some reason, Adam Jones wanted to stay in Baltimore.
Wouldn't say why.
But when you really go through it, Scope, gone. Kevin Gausman, gone. Zach Britton, gone.
The lights in here, gone.
Brad Brock, gone. These all turn off on a timer after the simulcast.
Right.
So these are the TV lights that are going off.
Gotcha.
But the Yankees still lost to Baltimore today. Sonny Gray couldn't beat a minor league team. So if you want to tell me that the Red Sox have done a better job keeping their eye on the ball than the Baltimore Orioles, they certainly have. No two ways about it. And it might win them the division. I'm just telling you that those games aren't going to translate in October.
Yeah, and you know that's the way it always is. The Red Sox have been exceptionally good against beating up on these bad teams this year, and it's something to, I don't know, celebrate. I don't know if you want to celebrate it that much. It's been a fun regular season. If your, you know, experience with the Red Sox is going down to one game this year from Maine or New Hampshire or wherever you come from, you probably saw them win this year, and that's great. But in terms of what we're expecting in October, my expectations aren't any different. How can they be?
So you still see the cracks, though, in the Red Sox in some of these games, like the ones against the Phillies.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And there were plays like this one last night in the first inning. The Red Sox had a couple of men on, and this happens.
Under it first, taken off outside. Here's the throw, runner breaking to the plate now. Play it home, and attack gets him. Benintendi cut down. Red Sox trying to fool him, but the Phillies reacted appropriately and cut down Benintendi, so no score after one.
Okay, Red Sox tried to fool him. How exactly? With a double steal? That when the Phillies throw down a second, the runner thinks he's going to make it home? You know, we talked about this a little earlier in the day. That works in Little League.
Right. Sometimes.
It even works in high school. Maybe it works in college and in the Little League or in the College World Series is what I meant to say. But in the big leagues, that almost never works. It doesn't work. So I don't know what the Red Sox were thinking there. Like, did Benintendi run on his own and think he could score and that the Phillies weren't going to cut off the throw? Or did Fabelis tell him to go? Was it, you know, as soon as the catcher gets up and throws, you go? The whole play to me was absolutely positively stupid, and with Xander Bogaerts at the plate on top of it all.
I don't think it could have possibly been a random thing. J.D. Martinez doesn't just steal a base, right? Like, he wouldn't just take off like that without there being some sort of other thing involved in it. And if it was, like, if it was just an improvised play, pretty stupid. And this team is stupid on the base path, so I guess maybe it's possible. But if it was, like, Mookie or, you know, it's anybody else stealing second, I'd say maybe. J.D. Martinez, that had to have been orchestrated somehow.
I mean, really, talk about a Mickey Mouse minor league kind of play. The Red Sox got gunned down there, and they cost themselves a chance to score in a night where every run mattered. So, that's where we begin. 617-779-0985. We get a bunch of things we want to get to. Still talking about the trading deadline. I'll give you the pitching matchups for the New York series. All of that, a scare for Xander Bogaerts last night as well. And we'll take your calls right here on the Baseball Reporters.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
0-2. That ran in and got him on the hand. And in some pain now, and now down on all fours.
Oh, this does not look good. Remember last year, Xander got hit on a hand and a wrist area. Messed him up the rest of the year.
Well, he's getting up on his feet. Great sign there, but can he continue? Getting a hand here at Fenway. Looks like he wants to take his base. It should make it first and second. Nobody out. Yeah, he's putting the glove on.
Looks like it gets him right on the right hand, right on the throwing hand.
I don't know about the rest of you. I almost swallowed my tongue when that happened last night. Xander Bogaerts got hit on that wrist by a fastball, and I went, oh, God, here we go again. Here we go again. And it was eerily reminiscent of the pitch that sidelined Aaron Judge for the Yankees. He has a cracked bone in his wrist. He's out for minimum. The Yankees are saying 3 weeks. I think that is such New York bullcrap. He's going to be out longer than that. Aaron Judge is going to miss at least a month. Just my two cents. He's obviously not going to play in the series this weekend. And when Bogaerts got hit last night, again, I swallowed my tongue or wanted to. Ugh, talk about a sick feeling in your stomach. What a day that could have been for the Red Sox. Mm. In the span of about 6 hours, no reliever at the deadline. Chris Sale goes on the DL. Xander Bogaerts breaks his wrist. Now, look, x-rays were negative. Bogaerts did talk about it, though, after the game. And his comment left me a little worried. I'll explain in a minute, but here's what he said.
As soon as I got hit, I was like, I can't believe what happens. You know, it's part of the game. If I don't foul off those first two pitches, I mean, I wouldn't get hit, but it's part of the game, and we'll see how I feel whenever the next game is.
Okay, so Bogaerts apparently is still sore. The Red Sox won't make a decision on whether he'll play tomorrow against the Yankees until we get to tomorrow.
X-ray is negative, though. That's good.
Exactly. And when I heard him say, you know, if I didn't foul off those first two pitches, I felt like he was blaming himself. Like, it happens. Okay, you know, geez, if I'd taken better swings at those balls and put him into play, that never would have happened. And it was in the ninth inning against that closer who's throwing 100 miles an hour. Dominguez, is that his name?
Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Okay, and I don't know a lot about that guy, but he throws bullets. Mm. I mean, like everybody who comes out of the bullpen now. And so keep an eye on Bogaerts, because even though the x-ray is negative, remember that last year he struggled with a bruise and he was never the same. He altered his swing mechanics and he has a history of fading in the second half. And Bogaerts feels like a guy who can overthink things and be a little, I don't want to say temperamental. That's the wrong word because I don't think he's moody, but sensitive is a better word. So watch Bogaerts here in the second half now because this thing could be happening all over again. Let's get to your calls. Greg is in Salem. Greg, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, what's going on?
What's on your mind?
So you said the Red Sox were 15-16 versus the other contending playoff teams that
yes.
they faced. I'm wondering, did you do any research to see what the other teams are against, what their records are against the other contenders?
I did not, Greg, but I can tell you that the Yankees have a good record against those teams.
So what? I guess my point is, what is an acceptable winning percentage versus those teams? Because my guess is most of the teams are going to be right around 500 against those other contending teams.
Okay, but at the same time, I would tell you that the discrepancy is not going to be as great as it is with the Red Sox. And you know what? Even that might not be true. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you go. And I understand your point. If you want to tell me that, well, Houston's record is similar or Cleveland's record is similar, fine. Except you know what the obvious difference is? Houston won the World Series last year.
Right.
They beat good competition. Cleveland went to the World Series 2 years ago. They beat competition, good competition, in October. Both of those teams beat the Red Sox in the postseason. And so I have fewer doubts about those clubs' ability to perform in October under pressure against good competition than I do with the Red Sox.
I got the numbers here for Houston against Cleveland. They're 4-3 against the Red Sox. They are 2-2. Against the Yankees, 2-5. So not great numbers there.
What about Seattle?
For Seattle, let's see. Seattle against the Red Sox, they are 3-4.
Houston against Seattle.
Oh, Houston against Seattle. Excuse me. Houston against Seattle, they're 5-3.
Okay. So Houston's around 500. They're similar to the Red Sox.
Right around there. Yankees against Cleveland, 5-2. Against Houston, 5-2. Against you, 5-4.
Okay, so that's 15-6. Go ahead.
Against Seattle, they are 3-0.
Okay, so that's 18-6, and what about Oakland?
And Oakland, let's see. Oakland against you, 4-2.
No, against the Yankees.
Against the Yankees, sorry. Yankees against Oakland are 2-1.
Okay, so the Yankees overall are 20-7 against the same group. The Red Sox are 15-16. So there's your answer. And here's my point. Again, if you want to tell me...
Good math there, Tony.
If you want to tell me that the Red Sox are or have been better at keeping their eye on the ball and grinding through the regular season? Yes, absolutely. Fact. Tell me how that translates in October. Because it doesn't. It doesn't. In October, you're not going to get the grind of, you know, beating bad opponents. You're going to face good teams and everybody's going to be focused. So yes, the Red Sox have been more focused than the Yankees have. They grind better than the Yankees do. I just don't think that that translates. Tom's in a car. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Maz. I heard you say earlier that if the Sox swept the Yankees without Sale this weekend, you'd have a different outlook on the team. And I don't really believe you. I think if they sweep the Yankees, which I'm not saying they're going to because I don't really think they're going to, but I think if they sweep the Yankees this weekend, you're going to have the same outlook as you always do. And, you know, you're just going to be waiting for the next down, the next point.
Yes. So listen, Tom, I can't necessarily disagree with you. All right, let me rephrase. I can't blame you for having that point of view. Because I always have a tendency to sort of change direction on you. I get that. If the Red Sox, I'll tell you what, if they win 3 out of 4 this weekend, I think the division might be over. Really, if they win 3 out of 4 against the Yankees without Chris Sale pitching, the division might be over. The Yankees will drop 2 more games in the standings. They'll drop 2 more games in the loss column, which is no insignificant thing. Right now, the gap is 4. So you're telling me the gap in the loss column will be 6? With this Red Sox team, even without Sale for a week and a half, I think the Yankees are going to have a hard time catching up. But I also think you confused me with Jim Murray. Murray has put an asterisk next to the Red Sox win total all year long, or at least he did at some point during the season. After they beat the Phillies, he erased one of the spokes on the asterisk.
I saw that.
And said that if the Red Sox beat the Phillies and then took 3 out of 4 from the Yankees, he'd erase the asterisk in its entirety. Okay, and that he would be convinced. So I didn't go that far. I will still have my doubts about the Red Sox in October. But if they win 3 out of 4 this weekend, I think the division's basically going to be over. Either that or they are going to collapse down the stretch. Because remember, those final 2 weeks, those final 2 series against the Yankees are going to be in the final 2 weeks.
That's right.
If the lead is 6 going into the final 2 weeks... those games aren't going to mean as much as everyone thinks they are because that second series, the Yankees aren't even going to try, right? So, you know, that we keep talking about those games, but the reality is that the second of those two series might not mean anything. Burt's in Connecticut. Quickly, Burt, go.
Hey, Maz, how you doing? Good. I'm going to talk fast and hang up with my connection. Listen, before I buy in 100% to your, which is concrete, that their record against the good teams, can't you just wait until they play? They haven't played Houston at home, and they're behind with the Yankees in home games. So can't you wait until it's the same amount of home games before you completely buy into that situation? Thanks for your call.
Okay, so, Bert, in a word, my answer is no. I can't wait. Okay, I do a daily talk show. I talk about the Red Sox all year long from the beginning of the baseball season to now. If you want me to wait, I can't talk until the end of the year. It just doesn't work. So I'm just trying to give you what the numbers are. I have concerns about this team's ability to beat good competition in big games. Okay? Whether those games are in August, whether they're in June, or whether they're in October. It doesn't matter. I have doubts. If you don't, that's fine. I commend you for it. It makes you a good, loyal fan. So all the credit in the world to you. But I think there are a lot of people out there who view it from my side of the street. And I think that the Red Sox are a team that you can legitimately have questions about. 617-779-0985. When we get back, a couple of other things I want to touch on. I still want to revisit the trade deadline. Dave Dombrowski's moves and the gamble he is taking there, as well as a Red Sox player last night that should have opened your eyes again. And I admit that this is serving a personal agenda. We'll do that after Christian Arkin gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, welcome back to the Baseball Reporters. Get right back to your phone calls. Before I do that, though, I do want to give you the pitching matchups for the Yankees series. Because I think there are a couple of games in here in particular that should catch your interest and will stick out. Sunday night's the obvious one. Okay, yep. David Price goes against Masahiro Tanaka. Sunday night is the obvious game. It's the finale. Price against the Yankees. And we all know what the numbers are. David Price against the Yankees. I mean, boy, are they dreadful. When you really go back and look at him again, I thought I wrote him down. I don't have him in front of me. But his career ERA against the Yankees as a member of the Red Sox is in the eights. I want to say it's like 8.44 or something like that as a member of the Red Sox. At Fenway Park, it's not as bad. It's in the sixes. In New York, it's dreadful, as we all know. 0-5 in New York. But Price did have a really good game here against the Yankees a year ago. Okay, it was late July. In fact, I think it was the last start he made before he went on the disabled list. And then by the time he came back, they had to put him in the bullpen, but he threw the ball well against them here on a Sunday night. One of the better games I've seen him pitch against the Yankees. So this one, given all the hype, the way the last one went, I mean, this one's a monster one for Price. Absolutely huge. Tomorrow, we'll rewind now and start in the series opener. The matchup tomorrow night is CC Sabathia and Brian Johnson. I got to give the edge to the Yankees there.
Definitely.
The second game of the series is Luis Severino against Rick Porcello. My gut tells me the Yankees have the edge in that game, but Severino hasn't been good of late.
He's been brutal lately and maybe falling off here a bit, but still, even with that, Porcello, I don't know. It's tough for me to lean in Porcello's direction right now.
So now remember, again, the Yankees are without Gary Sanchez and without Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Neither one of those guys will play in this series. The Red Sox are going to be without Chris Sale, and we'll see on Xander Bogaerts. But to me, the Red Sox lineup against the Yankees pitching feels like a bigger obstacle at the moment. We'll see how it shakes out for the Yankees. Then the Saturday game. The Saturday game's a good matchup. Jay Happ and Nathan Eovaldi. Mm. So there are your two trade deadline pickups, rather. Happ, obviously, for the Yankees, Eovaldi for the Red Sox. And at the moment, Happ is still scheduled to pitch. He has hand, foot, and mouth disease, if you can believe that.
It's going around.
So, but those are, you know, two of the bigger name starters that were moved at the, or let me rephrase, two of the better starters that were moved at the deadline. Hap's a bigger name. Valdi's hardly a big name at all. And then again, the Sunday finale, Tanaka and Price. So the weekend games to me, the pitching matchups there, absolutely interesting. I mean, the two deadline pickups go nose to nose Saturday. And then on Sunday, Price against New York in an ESPN game again. The last time that happened, Price got his face ripped off. Five home runs, was it, in that game? Did he have five home runs?
Yeah.
And I looked this up just quickly today. I feel compelled to give you the number. I think David Price, in his career against the Yankees as a member of the Red Sox, has pitched 45, 47 innings. It's one of those two. Okay? 45 of 47. Do you know how many hits he's given up, Christian?
In 47 innings?
Yeah, like one an inning is about the limit of what you want to give up.
Let me say like 60.
74.
74.
Oh, 74 hits, I think, in 47 innings.
Wow.
Including 13 home runs, but most of the damage has been done in New York.
Jeez.
Billy is in Taunton. Billy, what do you got?
Yeah, I just had a question for two quick things. One is, why don't they just make Price the everyday setup man, since he doesn't go too many long innings? And the second one is, when you have your ground ball pitcher on the mound, in a smaller ball stadiums, why don't they move somebody like maybe Mookie Betts occasionally, temporarily to second base?
Okay, so Billy, thanks for the call. The next person that calls and asks Mookie Betts to move to second base, in mid-sentence, I'm going to drop your ass so fast you won't know what hit you. I'm not going to take any more calls on Mookie Betts playing second base.
Are you sure it's not the same guy calling back over and over and over
again?
I
don't think it is. Maybe it was the guy last night. In that case, he's baiting me, which isn't necessarily a bad move because I'll take the cheese every time on that one. But the idea of moving Mookie Betts to second base, let's stop with that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just stop with it. He's a terrific right fielder. He's maybe the best player in the game right now. And certainly he's playing better than anybody in the game right now.
Yeah, let's dink around with that guy. That makes sense. How do you feel about the $30 million a year setup man suggestion, by the way?
So I like it.
You do?
I do. I would put David Price in the bullpen in September. I think he's more used to the Red Sox than he is there in the rotation. I have zero belief or faith that he will somehow find it in the month of October as a starting pitcher, Christian. I just don't think it's going to happen. Okay, so to me, I think he's better off in the bullpen. I think it works better with his psyche. You warm him up, you throw him in there, you let him fire bullets. And the other thing is, I don't think his stuff is good enough anymore as a starter. I just don't think he's, you know, he has his nights where his stuff is on, but consistently night to night, his stuff isn't there anymore. As a reliever, simplifies it for him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. I feel like with David Price, it's the same thing with A-Rod, same thing with Peyton Manning. These guys were all losers until they weren't, right? Eventually, they all broke through. Eventually, they all won something. I feel like that day is coming for David Price, but I just don't know if it's going to be here. You know, I don't know when it's going to be. I'd love to see it. I think that it would really be a nice redemption story here, and it might turn the tide of opinion about David Price in this city. But, you know, do you feel good about that now? Do you feel good about him this weekend? Do you like any of those pitching matchups this weekend outside of Eovaldi Happ? Because I don't. I mean, I think Eovaldi Happ is the best one. That's the one that favors the Red Sox the most. That should terrify Red Sox fans.
Yeah, except Jay Happ owns the Red Sox over the last few years. He owns them. Jimmy Stewart looked up some of these numbers earlier. He absolutely annihilates the Red Sox. Hmm. James is in a car. James, what do you got? James, nope. Well, that didn't work. Oh, James, you there? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, Tony?
Yes, go.
Hey, those numbers, when you were reading the numbers off start the show, I was holding my breath that it wasn't going to go in the direction that you said between playoff teams versus non-playoff teams. My God. I guess my question is, what's your biggest fear? Frontline starters, bullpen, or the back of the order? Because for me, JBJ striking out to end game one against, you know, whatever, Cleveland is like my cardinal fear. On the other hand, I grew up in the 90s with us playing the Yankees. Front end starting pitching wins playoffs, particularly divisional round. I mean, what is your cardinal fear about this team not being a playoff team?
Okay,
what part of the team?
So James, look, it's a good question. I would tell you, really, it's the pitching overall. Other than Sale, I'm not sure how much faith, and even Sale, his one stint in the postseason wasn't good, although I think the Red Sox put him in a tough spot. They mismanaged him, and his relief appearance against Houston last year was better than the start. So maybe something clicked there, but overall, I believe in Chris Sale's grit. I believe in his competitiveness. And if he has another bad October, I might change my mind. And he's on the DL now, so I do worry about the durability factor with Sale. But overall, Sale, I believe in. Even Kimbrel. I'm not totally 100% on board with Craig Kimbrel. I feel way better about Sale than I do about Kimbrel. But after Sale, and then Kimbrel, I guess if you want to include him, it goes downhill fast. I just don't have faith in a lot of the pitching, whether it's the setup men, whether it's the starters after Sale. So if you want to tell me that Craig Kimbrel is one of the best closers in the game, fine. I still worry about him in October. But the Red Sox next level, to me, is a big drop. And this is why David Price is so important. And you know what? This weekend, and I'll get back to this in a minute, but this weekend is a really good test for him. John's in Hudson, New Hampshire. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Tony. You're one of my favorite guys on the radio, but I don't get it. Like, do you guys like the Red Sox?
Sure.
Or should we just hang it up and not play these four games this weekend or not go to the playoffs? We've got the best team in baseball, and you guys don't like anything the Red Sox do.
No, that's not true.
Come on, John.
No. So
you guys do this all the time. I don't understand it. It's like, it's crazy. They got the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
So you don't like any pitching matchups but one this weekend, Eovaldi against Happ, and we should just fold up and not play the games.
No, right? John, don't get all bent out of shape out of it. Let me just ask you this. Other than Chris Sale, what Red Sox, and don't look at the matchups this weekend. Forget the matchups this weekend. If the Red Sox get into the playoffs, other than Chris Sale, who do you believe in?
I think Purcell will do okay. I mean, what are we going to do? This is the team we have, and they can have 112 wins, but they can lose, I guess. But at least we got a shot at it. I mean, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, like, it's just all negative stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff.
Okay, so John, listen, you make a good point.
Did he?
No. You make a good point about you feel good about Porcello. And that's fine. As a fan, you can feel good about him. I mean, you don't have to give me the facts. I'm telling you that Rick Porcello in his postseason career has a 5.47 ERA. 2 years ago in Cleveland, he won a Cy Young Award. 4 1/3, 5 runs, he gave up 3 homers. His ERA for that postseason was 10.38. Last year, he lasted 4 innings. It was only a couple of runs, but again, his career ERA in the postseason is 5.47. His career ERA in the division series is 6.75. So I just have a hard time getting past the facts. You should feel good about this Red Sox team. But now, this weekend, more than ever, you should feel good. But now more than ever, David Price is on the hot seat. So the Yankees are coming in here. You have a chance to bury them. Again, if you can win 3 out of 4, boy, you talk about driving a stake into the heart of the Yankees. I'm not telling you the division is over, but it's pretty close. You'll be up 6 in the loss column with 7 weeks of the season to go. And you have a team that's methodically marched its way through the season like no other team in the game. The division will essentially be in the hands of the Red Sox if they can take 3 out of 4. But Chris Sale is out. Price gets killed by the Yankees. He's got them in the finale on Sunday night. And if there is a God that is looking out for the best interests of the talk radio media, it'll be a 2-1 series in favor of the Red Sox going into Sunday night. Price will take the mound, being the difference between the Red Sox winning the series or tying it and burying the Yankees or not, with Sale on the DL. So Price, to me, is the most important guy on the team, because Price is the difference between having 2 good starters or 1. Porcello's average, maybe slightly above. He's really a middle-of-the-rotation guy. He is and always has been. I like Porcello. He's got value, but he's a middle-of-the-rotation guy. Price is supposed to be front end. Price is supposed to be a difference maker. Now Sale is on the DL. The Yankees are coming to town. Price gets the series finale, and he gets a chance to be a difference maker.